Hi, from KUNV 91.5 FM. This is the Joe Downtown Show. So let me start here. I was thinking recently that I know a lot of people in Las Vegas, which you might expect because as a reporter that happens. It's the job. Sometimes it forces you to cold call people you never talk to, people you didn't even want to see if you didn't have to. But the good thing about that is it's changed me. Because what I've found and the thing that continually catches me is just how wrong I've been. You know, initially, about someone. Perhaps I thought they were a jerk, or the person was always happy, or angry, or mean. Or maybe they looked like somebody I knew as a kid, the kid with the gap between his teeth, who was always smiling. So now when I see somebody with a gap, and they're all, I think they're smiling, and I think, well, I bet he or she is funny, but when really, they're a jerk. Or I'll see former teachers in some of the people I pass on the street. Sometimes I'll see a Mr. Anderson, my fifth grade teacher, and I think, well, that guy's a wit. Or I'll see my fourth grade teacher and think, she must be snooty. She trashed my Packers scrapbook after all. And on and on and on like that. I think most of us do it, create stereotypes or archetypes based on how somebody looks. What they wear, how high their nose is turned up, whether they hunch, they limp, et cetera, et cetera. We size them up immediately. It makes our life easier. The thing that always catches me is how wrong I am when I do that. Being a reporter forces you to be wrong. Now, I don't mean newspaper mistakes, which all reporters do. I'm talking about perceptual mistakes of people. Like I said, I get forced to talk to people for stories, for tips, to hear grievances, to hear them grieve or lie to me or whatever they do. But almost without fail, when they open their mouths, they are nothing like the person I thought they were, or the archetype I've created over a lifetime about the personality of somebody who looks like them. You see what I'm getting at? It's that way with towns, too. And that gets us more into today's show, the perceptions and realities of downtown Las Vegas. For instance, I get emails all the time and read the comments online from people, and now I'm stereotyping again because I imagine them as shut-ins with nothing better to do than kibitz and curmudgeon. But then I remember, too, when I lived out by the lakes and when I first moved here, everybody told me to move out there and stay away from downtown because downtown was dangerous. So I did. And even as a reporter covering crime, the place I'm sitting right now on Fremont Street was pretty much a no reporter's land. Though full of crime and ne'er-do-wells, the degree of criminal activity was pretty small fry. Prostitution, drug deals, petty larceny, the occasional robbery, none of those rose to the level of crimes worthy of a story. Not when Teddy Binion was allegedly being murdered and a teen was shot on a soccer field and a little girl killed in Prim and off-duty cops shooting and killing a kid and on and on and on. All that kind of stuff that happened when I first moved here. But life throws curves. I met somebody. We moved downtown. We didn't do it because it was hip. We did it because it was cheap. And more than that, the homes were older and had character. Bigger yards, space, trees. It had a Midwestern feel. And I got to know it better. And what I found is that people downtown were coming together. A friend and I once chased a tagger off our street one bright Sunday morning. We'd have cocktail parties with neighbors and friends. We held meetings, formed neighborhood associations, created a historic district. Downtown was nothing like I thought it was. It was like a small town. But let me stop there for a second. We're going to get into this with two people we have here who come from very different camps, actually. One is a city councilman who's lived downtown for decades. The other is a city councilman who has never lived down here but lives instead in Tony Summerlin. These are the two Bobs of the Las Vegas City Council, Bob Coffin and Bob Beers, or Bierce, as some people call him. Coffin's ward covers much of downtown, including much of the south side of Fremont Street and some of the north. On the other hand, Beers' ward has nothing to do with downtown. He's out in Summerlin, where you can imagine streets lined with gold shimmering in the desert sunlight, blocking from view anything that happens down here. Yeah, I think that's about right. So I invited them here for two reasons. One, because they're elected officials who I've learned over the years are less paranoid and therefore more honest about expressing themselves. Both of them will call it like it is to a degree. The second is I'm curious. Having lived here for decades, Coffin's viewpoint of downtown has to have changed. From its heyday to its toilet and now rising again, he has to have a view of downtown unlike anyone else in this city. And Beers, a former radio man, can gaze down upon the city's core from a perch we can barely see through the smog. And I wonder, does he turn his nose up at downtown? Do Summerlonians or Summerlinites or whatever they're called think the same way? I'm sure they wonder what's going on down here. Is it safe? Is the food good? Will they get mugged? Is all this news about downtown some kind of media conspiracy to drive people down here because for some reason the media wants to drive people down here? In short, Beers, as I like to call him, represents the very large constituency who knows little about downtown's ongoing redevelopment, or maybe they think they do, but their perceptions, these perceptions, which are always important, might not always be in sync with reality. First off, however, I want to say this is the Joe Downtown Show on KUNV 91.5 FM. I'm Joe Shaneman, a reporter for the Las Vegas Sun and Las Vegas Weekly, and you can listen to rebroadcasts of this show at lasvegassun.com. With that, I turn to Bob Coffin, councilman for Downtown's Ward 3. Hi, Bob.
Hello there, Joe.
It's good to have you on. Give me your background on downtown. When did you move here? Where did you live first? And why did you ever move to downtown Las Vegas?
Our family moved to Huntridge in 1951. That's 62 years ago by my clock, and it was October of 51. And I've seen a lot, you know. Huntridge, of course, was the prices of the homes were in single digits, and the rest of the town wasn't there because there was no there. The town ended at Oki, then a little bit at Sahara, which was a different named street altogether. Downtown was one of my playgrounds, in addition to the Huntridge Theater and the park there. Downtown had two other movie theaters right on Fremont Street. So, you know, they were within a bicycle ride's difference, and your bike would not be stolen if you rode it downtown.
So it was a kind of a small town feel. Like your parents would, when you were 10, would let you walk a couple blocks away, no problem.
Well, the K&K store was a novelty store just downtown on North 3rd or 4th, I forget, near what is now the Mob Museum, but was the post office and federal building in the 50s. So naturally, you know, you made a stop down there to buy a yo-yo or to buy some crazy
alone
thing.
You didn't have to have
bean
your parents
shooter
with you.
No. Bean shooters, you know, all the kind of thing you need, nevertheless, to harass the neighbors and their pets. So we were very close-knit community. And you had, you know, this area, I got to say, went through a couple of different downtimes, you know, that it was up through the 50s.
Well, let me ask you this. You grew up here, then did you, you went to college here, did you always stay downtown, or did you move to another state and then
except
decide?
For a little time in the Army and a little time in an apartment down in the 60s out near Nevada Southern, which is now UNLV. I was basically living downtown.
You were sowing your oats down there by UNLV? Were you part of the hippie fringe?
Sowing your oats has a connotation I'd rather not address at this time. That was another life. And I'll tell you what, I have to legally own all the oats I've sown now. So I can only tell you that this place, you know, was great. But this is not the only time it's been resurrected. It went downhill bad in the recession of the 60s when the town was overbuilt and there was a real panic. And it wasn't a national recession, but the town went into a toilet spin, really. And it wasn't until Howard Hughes came and invested some money that things began to come back. But it wasn't all over town. Downtown had a problem. It partially resurrected itself in the 60s and 70s, but really had gone downtown until the last few years, really. Now it's coming back. But literally, we've had two serious recessions in downtown Las Vegas.
So you grew up in downtown when a 10-year-old could be allowed to walk a half mile or take a bike half mile. And then there was a period when I moved here 13 years ago. It was not, I'd never let my kid have done that 13 years ago. It's changing now. But what, I mean, when you saw that change occurring, what was your reaction? What could you do?
I couldn't do anything about it. I felt like it was one of those things that's beyond your control. I think any single resident feels the same way. You regret it, but you don't leave if you like it there. You know, it's never been really dangerous down here. I don't understand sometimes the paranoia that grips people. Sometimes
maybe you're
I think,
a big city kid and you can handle
yourself. I think it's driven by people who want to sell houses in the suburbs and they'd like to drive the business away from the downtown and the urban people. In reality, all you have to do is any other city, just be aware. Because assaults and violent crime happen in Summerlin. They happen in Green Valley. They happen everywhere. So why should downtown Las Vegas be any different? Maybe it's just that there are more people mingling together, mixing, jostling, that kind of thing. That happens in any city.
Have you ever experienced a crime against your person or your home downtown?
I had burglaries in the 70s in a house I lived in near 17th and Charleston. I had six burglaries over a two-year period. I put an alarm system in, and they stopped. Have I ever had a violent confrontation? When I was a kid, yeah, plenty of them, but those were fights, typical fights that you might encounter in as a teenager.
No, I mean something you didn't start, like, you know, some mugger or something.
No, I haven't. And maybe I don't look vulnerable, because that's Probably.
No, you look like a tough guy. I think you could probably handle yourself.
No, I can't. No, I'm too old. And, if you want my wallet, come and take it.
How long have you lived on Fifth Place, which is just a block off Las Vegas Boulevard?
We've lived there now for 26 years.
Wow.
And it's very close to Charleston and Las Vegas Boulevard, which is considered to be, one of the headquarters for the drugs and prostitution.
Now, like I said, 13 years ago when I moved there, and I lived two houses from you at the time, prostitutes would go door to door. I remember one Christmas Eve.
You're exaggerating.
I'm not.
Joe. One prostitute may have done that, but okay. Generally speaking.
Well, she wore wigs. To me, it was plural.
And maybe it was a man.
I didn't partake of the services. I always find condoms in the gutter in the morning. You're nodding your head. How that's really changed, though. How did that come about? What's brought about that change?
Well, there's still a little bit of that going on. You can't really stop that. Surreptitious prostitution is a whole other thing. Sex in the backseat of a car, that's another thing. Stop that.
Yeah, right.
And so, unless you decided to regulate it, maybe, and tax it, but that's another story from a previous life.
Are you going to bring that up as a potential ordinance? I remember when Mayor Oscar Goodman thought of that idea.
I have no plans to, but when I was a senator in the legislature, I did try to tax prostitution.
That's right.
And regulate it, but of course, it takes a legislature to act because it is illegal by statute in Clark County. So that's a subject for another discussion.
Now, you were termed out of the legislature, then you became a councilman, and almost immediately, I saw you at the opening of Artifice Bar in the Arts District in the summer of 2010. And that was before Zappos and Tony Hsieh announced coming downtown into City Hall. Even then, I had a hope for the area. Maybe it was a fool's hope. But what about you? When you first got the city council job, what were you thinking? What could be done to create economic growth in your ward, which is one of those areas that just hadn't seen it for a long time?
Economic growth was not the first.
Was it potholes
thing.
And?
It was no. It's more along the lines of livability, and that meant that you had to restore the parks. You had to reopen at least two parks that had been closed. You had to begin to get people's morale up by helping them paint their houses, give them incentives to help fix their yards. But the public spaces were the most important thing. Getting rid of the graffiti, which is a plague in any city, but had taken over. We have that. We've got that under control now. It's happening, but we get rid of it as quickly as possible. So parks, pedestrian safety, all these things. But let me say this, that nothing happens as fast as you'd like it to happen. I've been in this office now 27 months, and I am still waiting for certain projects that I started to come to fruition because it takes government forever. You may be a council member, and you may order something to happen.
Yeah, you can't just tell them, look, your job's gone if you don't get this thing done.
You don't do that in a manager-council form of government. You cooperate with your team of managers, and they get things done. There's a queue, so you put your request in, and it works its way to the top. But believe me, we don't bully our staff. We try to do our very best because they work for us, and they take a lot of abuse as it is, not from us.
Yeah, I'd be a terrible councilman, I think. Tell me about the would you call it a revolution downtown, where we are now? I mean, or how do you, is that too much?
No. I think it's accurate. I think we're sitting here right now, and another event is happening on East Fremont Street.
The World Food Championships.
Yes, and every weekend something is happening. And, of course, everybody hears about First Friday, but for every First Friday, there's half a dozen other things that are happening downtown. No, this is a real renaissance. This takes it way back, way, way back, almost to the 50s. Now, we didn't have street fairs then. We drove that street, But in the way I look at it is it's exceeding anything that I ever saw as a young person. Hsieh and his money and people that are tagging along, other investors, are bringing this back with the impact that Howard Hughes had on Las Vegas in the 60s.
Yeah, it's something government might have done over 100 years. I think this is going to happen in 10.
Well, it's been happening, and it happens almost so fast you don't realize it. The project will come. Frankly, sometimes I find out about projects after they've already started. They sometimes are in such a hurry, they don't even bother to go to the council office. They just
I've
get rolling.
That. I've noticed. I've
and
seen
we want our staff to make things happen. We don't want them to just say, you've got to go kiss the ring of the council member first. Let's get it started and let us know as we go.
What kind of ring do you have that they usually kiss?
I have a UNLV graduate ring.
Is it worn away from all the lips that have been on it?
Well, I have not allowed anybody to kiss that ring. I'm sorry. My wife would never allow that.
Okay. We've been talking to Bob Coffin. Bob, we're going to wrap this up so we can bring on our next guest, Mr. Bierce. And it's been a pleasure talking with you. Your perspective really adds a lot to this.
It's great to be with you, Joe, and also with KUNV. You know, my wife, who I'm proud to be associated with, Mary Hausch, teaches in the Greenspun School, teaches journalism out at UNLV, and very proud of her and all the, that gets accomplished there.
All right, thanks a lot, Bob. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Now for an outsider's perspective on downtown comes Bob Bierce, councilman for Ward 2, which includes the Far West out by Red Rock, that really nice area that maybe you downtowners have driven through and thought you ended up in California or something. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the show, Bob.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So how's it feel to be down here at 6th and Fremont?
We don't have any coffee shops. We don't have any coffee shops in Summerlin that have Frank Zappa posters on the wall. So it's always a delight to come down here.
Oh, you like, dude, but
I'm a guitar player.
You're a little more comfortable, I suppose, because you have your mace handy.
Yeah. It's always a benefit to have handy.
Oh, I'm joking. You obviously feel comfortable down here, or you're a black belt in something, I'm sure, that you won't reveal.
I've always been pretty comfortable down here, going back to high school. I'm probably 10 years younger than Councilman Coffin, and part of the generation that cruised Fremont Street on Friday night.
Well, just to be fair, I met you downtown at a venerable old downtown bar called Dino's maybe 10 years ago.
Yep.
You walked in there fearlessly, drank several beers, and then...
You used to work the overnight shift at Odyssey Records, which is right next to Dino's.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah.
And I remember meeting you for coffee here months ago, mm-hmm. during your push to eliminate the city's percent for the arts program.
To make it optional, to make the council buy in it once a year.
You lost anyways.
Yeah, but I did.
You got into a friendly debate with our own artist, Ginger Bruner, a longtime downtowner,
yep.
and you seemed comfortable then. And I don't think I've seen you in these parts after that, but...
Been down several times.
Oh, yeah? Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Now... I'll say a city council meeting doesn't pass. I don't cover them, but I'd go back and watch them.
Mm-hmm.
When downtown business isn't up for a special use permit or a liquor license or some kind of thing about downtowns being debated. Now, it used to be the other way around. I've been around here for a long time. So Summerlin and the Uberbs were where all the action was.
Yep.
There was so much development. Literally, homes went up in a week. It was crazy.
Yep.
So are you feeling slighted?
Not at all. Look,
do you take much interest in what's happening down here?
Oh, absolutely. This is the heart of this city, and has been and always will be. You're always going to have the city government focused on downtown. And I think all of us agree that a healthy downtown is a good thing for all the wards, and I think that's how we act in the decisions we make.
So you really care what's happening here?
I do, yeah.
How give me the flow chart. Good here makes it good out in Summerlin.
Let me throw it at you this way. I care about the welfare of Ricky Barlow's ward on the other side of the railroad tracks and Lois Tarkanian's ward on the other side of the railroad tracks. A healthy city shouldn't be measured on the basis of the lines we politicians draw on the map in order to each represent an equal number of citizens. So I don't know that the ward boundary lines are very, very important to anybody other than the city council, and the occasional journalist that, you know,
right.
looks at it.
Try to make an issue out of it. So
to most people, it's the city.
But your constituents don't come up and say, you know, what are you doing with all this downtown talk? Let's just get to some of our stuff.
There's always questions, but we can have those discussions. And typically my response is, well, what is it that you are concerned isn't happening in your neighborhood? And let's address that. And that's how we proceed.
Do you think when you're deciding, because you do vote, even if Bob Coffin brings something up, and it's an issue just for downtown, you still vote on it?
Mm-hmm.
Do you vote differently knowing it's downtown? Now, just let me finish this. Knowing it's downtown versus where the same issue in Summerlin. For instance, liquor stores. Now, if some Tony's, you know, tree-lined, grass-growing corner in Summerlin wanted a liquor store and the residents were like up in arms about it, I imagine you'd say, yeah, forget it. But you hear about a liquor store, people begging for liquor stores down here, and I wonder if in your mind you're like, liquor stores, let them have them. You know, it's just downtown. There's so many of them, give them more.
No, I think the liquor store debate that we've been having in 2013 has evolved into something bigger than allowing a particular liquor store to be open and operating. I think we're now engaged in a comparison of both the Fremont East District and the Canopy to other very large-scale entertainment districts around America. There are a handful. And we're trying to figure out...
And none of them have liquor stores. I'm just
No. They're, all the ones we're looking at are fueled by alcohol, as ours is and will continue to be.
So did you selectively pick the ones with alcohol?
I believe the city staff did selectively pick the ones at alcohol.
I'm just saying,
because
I know
that's going to be the environment we have here. So there are, New Orleans has them, New York City has them. They're not unknown in America, adult playgrounds. And so we're looking at all of those that we can find that seem even remotely comparable, and attempting to see if there's a better way for us to run this entire burgeoning district down here. I don't know the answer yet. They're still in early preliminary investigation stages.
A limit per mileage
all kinds
on
of,
the things.
All kinds of ideas. It seems pretty popular to enclose these areas and run it via wristbands. And
that's a recent development.
There are all kinds of techniques that have been developed to address the problems that have been reported down here or experienced if you come down. And others, it's not unique to Las Vegas. So we're looking at other areas, and it's a big discussion. It's going to be well into next year, I think, before we have any kind of a start of a resolution. So I guess I didn't answer your question. Do I vote differently? Not really.
There you go. Yeah.
Not really, I don't think. I mean, it's hard to say because the neighborhoods are so distinctly different. The issues that we're asked
people,
to vote
people
on...
People are the same.
People are the same, but the issues that the city council is asked to vote on are significantly different. The vast majority of Ward 2 was built under one overarching city-approved plan that delegated a lot of typical micro-city decision-making to the developer. And so many of the questions we get there are just different in nature than the things that we get in the downtown area. So it's hard to compare them and line them up and prioritize between the two. They're different issues. Do I look at them pretty much all the same way?
Do you wish Summerlin had all the stuff going for it now that downtown has?
You know, that no. Nor does downtown have all the stuff going for it that Summerlin does. They are two distinctly different environments, different neighborhoods, and that diversity of environment and neighborhood, I think, is a good thing. It gives people who want to live in, you know, what was the word from last week, Skylord? You got Skylords in Ward 2. We got the Queens Ridge Towers. So if you want to be a Skylord in the suburbs, you can be a Skylord in the suburbs. You want to be a Skylord downtown, you can do that.
Now, more than a decade ago, a local columnist here opined that downtown was dead and the new downtown was going to be in Summerlin, and that Goodman's attempts at revivals were failures. The Children's Museum would be moved to Summerlin. Now, I don't know where in a gated fiefdom you would put a children's museum, but that does that kind of talk crop up now by the Cracker Barrel where you and your buddies, you know, beat for...
We do occasionally discuss the prognostications of journalists and how frequently they're just flat wrong.
Well...
Oh, that wasn't where you were going with your question, Joe?
No, threw me off on that one. That was a good one. Good one-liner. Now, let me ask you this. If you had to tell your Summerlin constituents about downtown Las Vegas or the city of Las Vegas beyond the Machiavellian backstabbery that happens there daily, what would you tell them about downtown? What would you say? What would you tell like a 60-year-old Summerlinite who's coming up to you and say, Bob, what about this new downtown? Should I go down there and grab myself a beer? What do you say?
I would say absolutely. Go down there right now. Right now, it happens to be a weekday during the day, and check out these cool exhibitions lined up on Main Street.
East Fremont, God, I was mugged there 30 years ago.
No, absolutely. And nobody but you says that, by the way. Absolutely. This food festival going on down here is something that is of keen interest to most Summerlins. most Summerlin residents, Ward 2 residents, and it's cool. So come down, check it out.
Oh, well, Bob has two Nephilim security guards coming here, right? I think we got to wrap this up. And for those just tuning in, this is KUNV 91.5 FM. This has been the Joe Downtown Show. I'm Joe Shaneman, reporter for The Sun and Las Vegas Weekly. To hear a podcast of the show, go to the Joe Downtown page at lasvegassun.com and look under Joe Downtown Radio. Bob, as always, it's been a pleasure. Hope we can have you and Mr. Coffin.
Which
on again.
Bob?
The two Bobs.
The two Bobs.
Actually, they're both here. Their heads are right together now, so you can't really tell them apart. Except one has a big head of hair.
One has hair and one doesn't. Yeah.
But thanks for being on. Appreciate it.
You bet.